Praise God. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Sandy, so much for those comments. And I want to give out a Holy Ghost certificate before we sit down. This certifies that Dustin Green was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Just to... That was amazing, by the way. Thank you for your prayers. And Rick, you worked with me on sort of making sure that I know his job pulls on him a lot. And he's a leader where he works. And we had a few of us trying to make sure that he was going to be there for the outpour Sunday. And he wasn't. It got outpoured on him. Hallelujah. Praise God. That was so real. And I don't know what language you were speaking in. But it wasn't Spanish, it wasn't Italian, it wasn't German, and it wasn't English, and it wasn't Yugoslavian. So some of the languages that we deal with and work in. So whatever it was real. Praise God. If you would turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, good to see everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. God really touched some folks last week. Amen. And it wasn't just Dustin, was it, Irma? I mean, he literally touched some folks last week. Wow. He has ways of showing us how real he is. He's real. And by the way, God bless our visitors and guests. We try to just love everybody and love you and be a blessing. But we are a little bit energetic around here. Just a little bit. I have to tame myself down because they call me Rev, and I feel like I should get revved, you know, because why wear a title if you never live it out? Praise God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I love these verses. Of course, this is Jesus talking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Wow, I love that, don't you? Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and notice this, and in the kingdom and patience. Sometimes you have to have a little patience before you see the kingdom. Okay. The kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He never mentions that they were beating the living daylights out of him. He never even mentions it. They were torturing him. He was there because of the Roman heavy-handed ways of dealing with people that disagreed with them. So he was exiled on the island of Patmos, but he was still having church. Watch this. Verse 10. I was in the, see that capital S there? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Exiled 6 miles by 10 miles. Rocky, treeless island called Patmos. They were beating me up, but God was blessing me at the same time. He said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. There it is again. The first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia. And of course, the last one to always get the mail is Laodicea. They're always the last ones to get the mail because they're lukewarm folks. Okay, just a thought. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Picture of the church of the living God. It's an emblem. It's a way to portray the churches, the seven churches. Verse 13, and in the what? which means in the middle, in the midst of the seven candlesticks. One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and his girt about the paps with a golden girdle. All right. Wow. I want you to notice something. He says some fascinating things. But one of them is, I'm Alpha and Omega. But I'm also in the middle. I'm the Alpha, the beginning of the Greek alphabet. I'm A to Z. I'm the Omega. I'm at the end of the alphabet. Just in case you don't think I fill the middle, he comes back to say, I'm in the middle of the golden candlesticks. So I've got the middle covered too. Oh, praise God. He is the God of the middle. Let's ask him to give us revelation. Lord, thank you so much for being so consistent and so constant, such an anchor to our hearts and souls. We worship you today. Would you do that with me? We worship you today, Lord. We worship you and thank you for your presence. Touch somebody with healing power today. Touch somebody with hope. Touch somebody, Lord, with joy. Give somebody several new reasons to live today, Lord. Bless somebody. Somebody that doesn't even feel like they're qualified, but bless them anyway and shock them awake, Lord, to know the goodness of God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Let your word be lifted up and exalted. Let's clap our hands as unto the Lord. He is a good God. You may be seated. You know, the beginning of something, especially something great, but even of the smaller things, the beginning is often very, very exciting. And the end of something can be very rewarding and very fulfilling. And we have seen that in life. But the mess is in the middle. And I'm going to show you how that works. In the middle is the stress. In the middle is the process. Some of God's best gifts to us are processes. He has us in a process. Let me explain that, for instance. It says in the word that I am saved. That's present. You know, I am saved. It says I have been saved. That's past tense. It says I am being saved. Did you know he puts it in the future? So he puts our salvation in all three tenses, which tells me, first of all, that God is a God of process. Past, present, future. He's a God of process. He didn't come just to save you and give you an event that you could brag on and say in 40 years, well, back there 40 years ago, he touched me. No, he can't. He comes today to save something else in your life. It might be to save your mindset. It might be to save your perspective. God is in the saving business, and he wants to save us from our toes to our head, hallelujah, and from our head back to our toenails. He's in the saving business. You know, the beginning of our walk with God, I don't know about you, but my new birth, it was glorious. I felt that love that Thad talked about this morning. I felt a baptism, literally, Brother Thad, of the love of God when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was a fanatic, fan, addict. They were in the upper room, addict. A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I am a dyed-in-the-wool fan addict. I love church. I love prayer. I drove to a prayer meeting last night after a long day, after a staff meeting. And none of those are real short. But anyhow, it was blessed. It was arduous. It was good. But I got into a prayer meeting later on. And I got in the middle of some people that really know how to pray. And I sat there and thought, I am a blessed man just to be here and be among people that really know how to pray. We got some people in this church that really know how to pray. But my new birth was exciting. You've heard me talk a little bit about, I was 14 years old. When I came to, does anybody remember what, I've shared this a couple of times. When I came to, yes, Brother Thad, would you stand and do that for everybody? That's They had altars, literal wooden altars, large ones. Oh, we could use those again, could we not? Use some altars. And I was underneath one of them, lifting them up and down, or lifting it up and down. When I came to, it's like I'm talking in tongues and I'm lifting up this. You're not supposed to do that with altars. How many of you know you're not supposed to throw them around? All that kind of stuff. But I didn't know. Hallelujah. God is good. I just had an exciting beginning in Jesus' name. And then as I began to live for God, I discovered there's a lot of stuff in the middle that sometimes happens. And it's, you know, we're on our way home. And, you know, dogs bark at strangers. We used to sing it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm not at home here. I'm blessed by the Holy Ghost, but we're headed somewhere. Praise God. And He's got my beginnings covered because His name is Alpha. I'm the beginning. I'm the beginning of your joy. I'm the beginning of your perspective. I'm the beginning of your finances. I'm the beginning of the way that you even interpret life. I've got you covered. I'm Alpha, but I've also got the end of this thing covered. And the Bible says that we're on our way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matter of fact, we were in a revival years ago in New Mexico. And there was a young man, actually he was the pastor's son who had been backslidden. And he came back to God in that revival. And the Holy Ghost was poured out on him and God renewed him in his faith. You would recognize their last name because it's Sister Freeman's family. And probably, let's see if I got it figured out right, it'd be her grandson. Anyway, he prayed, Tony prayed back through, and he said when he finally came to explain to us what he saw in the spirit, he said, I saw this table set with all this amazing dinnerware. I don't know if you've seen pictures of this. They sell a picture that looks just like this. You can buy it in Christian bookstores, and you can't see the end of the table. He was saying, that's what I saw. I saw this table set. We're headed toward the marriage supper of the Lamb. But after praying through and being refreshed and renewed in God, he heard a voice say behind him, and here is Tony's place. God's got that covered because His name is Omega. Amen. He's got a crown for you. There's going to be a great celebration. Some of us are closer to that than others. Me included, I think. But I appreciate every gift, every day. The gift of every day that He gives us. There are rewards. God is not going to forget the sacrifices that you made. He's got things planned for us. He is called the Omega. So we had an amazing beginning. And we're going to have an amazing ending. He said, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the ending. But I want to ask, what about the middle? Woo! You say, well, that's not mentioned, but it is in that verses 12 and 13. Praise the name of Jesus, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. It's like the Lord anticipated. Somebody might think, oh, if He's called Alpha, beginning, and Omega, ending, you know, that's where his big emphasis is. That's where His power is, His declaration, His glory, His virtue. But in case you think the middle's unprotected, John tells us that when they saw that candlestick, a picture of the church, he saw Him standing in the midst, in the middle of the golden candlesticks. Praise God. He's got the middle covered. Israel was promised a land that flowed with milk and honey. Anybody remember that? Has anybody dealt with honey? Sister Diane, aren't you the one that gave me some honey? I believe you gave me some honey. I still got some of it. I that stuff is like gold to me. Somebody else gave me some honey. Natural, like, you know, really good stuff. Raw honey, right? And I'll sometimes get some cereal, Charles, and pour some cereal into a bowl, and I'll take some of that honey and dip, and then just sort of swirl it around. Praise God. But here's what I've learned. When I use honey, it's really sticky. And I'll get done, Brother Rick. I'll get done, Alicia, with it. And I'll put the cereal away. And I'll get a little sticky on the cereal box. And I'll put the honey jars away. I'll get a little honey on the jars and a little honey on the spoon. A little honey on my hands. And it's like, oh, my lands. It happens every time, no matter how. You know, it's like I used to tease Ember. Ember loved peanut butter. I said, Ember, when you make a peanut butter sandwich, you get peanut butter on the counter. You get some on the bread. You get some on you. And you get some on the floor. It's true. True statement. Amen. Praise God. And she would just grin that sheepish grin like, well, Daddy, I can't do forensics and debate that. You've got a good point. That's the way it is living for God. It gets a little sticky. He said it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. What was he suggesting? Things are going to get a little ridiculous once in a while. You might bump into the bizarre. There might be things that we go through that we don't understand, and certainly things that we didn't anticipate. But he said, I'm standing in the middle of the golden candlesticks. I've got the beginning covered. I've got your ending covered. And I've got your middle covered. Oh, praise God. Woo, let's love on him for a little while. Israel was promised a land. I've been there. They're still there. But oh, what a trip to get there. What they didn't understand was it was going to involve a lot of desert. I like dessert. Sometimes when we ask for dessert, we get a little more desert thrown in to keep us trusted. Things get a little sticky. Have you discovered that? It's not the beginning of something. It's not the ending of it. It's all the jazz, all the craziness that we have to process in the middle. But God says, I've got your beginning covered. I've got your ending covered. And I've got these years in between covered with my power, my virtue, and my grace. I'm going to cover you with my wings. I'm going to be your support system. I'm going to carry you. Oh yeah, they didn't understand it, but giants and enemies galore. It got sticky living for God. But guess what? They came into that promised land. God gave them victory after victory, and they're still living there. Yes, amen. Praise God. I got to thinking about the middle business. And I thought about weight loss. You might wonder why I pull my jacket so tight. Hallelujah. The battle's in the middle. Mr. Skinny. I wish I was as skinny as Dustin. There are whole diets dedicated to belly fat diet. I almost brought one of them just to show you I got some. I'm not using them real good yet, but I get some ideas. Belly fat diet. Where's the battle? It's in the middle. If fat finds a place to lodge, if it finds hospitality anywhere in your body, it won't be on your foot. It'll be around your midsection. It'll be right in the middle. The battle's in the middle. I'm sorry I had to throw that in. There's no extra charge. Oh, I must calm down. Okay. David, he gets a promise that he's going to be a king. What if you had a promise like that? You're going to be a king. Wouldn't you be excited? Oh, but guess what came with it? When he got to trooping through the years, there was this insane king that was jealous of him. Jealousy. I like to pronounce it different ways to kind of get the full feeling of what's in the word jealousy. Lousy is the heart of the word. But he was so jealous of David. And so he sought to assassinate him. Once even throwing his javelin, at least once, at David. David was playing, trying to placate the man and the unclean spirits that were working in his life. It must have been really a scary thing to realize the most powerful man in my country is wanting to take me out. But he had a promise. It was all the insane stuff that was happening in the middle. Did anybody tell David, oh, welcome, welcome to Champion's Corner. Welcome to Hero's Corner. Oh, by the way, there's a gentleman out here. His name is Goliath. He would like to have an interview with you. Could you send Geraldine? Send Geraldine. No, he's asking for you, David, by name. He had to process. He could have let himself get depressed. Sometimes we don't understand. We get a promise, but it's the process, getting all the way to the fulfillment of it. He is Alpha. He'll bless you in the beginning. It'll be exciting. It'll be powerful. And he's got promises that cover how we end up, rewards, crowns, suppers, all kinds of things in store for us. But the battle is in the middle. And so he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, and I stand in the midst of the golden candlesticks to guarantee you that on any given day, hallelujah, I've got you on my mind, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to strengthen you. I've not forgotten your name. Woo, man, anybody happy in the Lord for his blessings? Would you give the Lord a hand praise? He's the worthy God. I know of a famous church that had experienced a lot of almost miraculous growth. And they had, after years, had an opportunity to buy the sports arena in their city. Now, the pastor said, you know, he got very excited when he heard it came open. But he didn't know that it would take 2 years to get the 10 councilmen to give the yes vote. Just to get the yes vote from the 10 councilmen, because it was owned by the city, right? One of the largest cities in America. And he said, I didn't know that it'd take $100 million to renovate it. I said $100 million to renovate it. Forget the quarter contest. Let's have a gold nugget contest. Praise God. But they're there. And they're the largest church now in America because of their faith and their risk and their courage. I'm telling you that God, I believe that God's hand is on us, and I believe it's time to open the doors, open the windows. We were talking to the staff about that. New ideas, outreach. Get up and do something. COVID has kept us, as it were, almost prisoners. No disrespect. I'm just saying, a lot of folks with panic and fear. I believe that God is giving us a green light to get thinking again about soul winning, and to get thinking again about harvest, and get thinking again about sharing your testimony. We didn't know in the middle of all this we'd run into a pandemic. But we're still here. I remember hearing Jeff Arnold say that after coming through some of the most iconic craziness. He's such a funny man. He's an amazing preacher, but he's also funny. And Josh, I'll never forget him talking about coming up to his church doors and something didn't look right, and he couldn't get the doors open, and he looked up toward the edge of the roof and noticed that the roof was on crooked. In his new building. No problem, right? As they say in Tijuana, no problema. The roof is on crooked. He looked at the sidewalk that they had poured, and it was like this. Wave. You know, you could have, if it had been liquid, you could have ridden a surfboard on the sidewalk. It was going to have to all be busted up and re-poured. I mean, he just went into one thing, and then when the crew that was working on his building, and he named so many, It was like it took almost a half an hour for him to tell us all the problems with the building. And then the crew quit and took all their tools, $65,000 worth of tools that they had bought, the church had bought. They took them with them. But there's a church there. There's a powerful church there. There's a one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, devil-dropping, rust-removing, chandelier-shaking, carpet-cleaning church there. They came through hell in high water, but they never quit. Don't you quit when you're going through a tunnel. Don't you throw your ticket away. God's got you covered. He's got your beginning covered. He's got your end covered. And the hand of God is on you right now. Woo! There's a wonderful preacher man that calls me. I've known him for years. He's a great man. Great man of God, that is for sure. If I said his name, many of you, most of you would recognize it. God has used him for years and used him in healing, used him in Holy Ghost, used him in miracles. He is going through a tough, tough time right now. And I had the privilege, and maybe he'll do this for me, but I had the privilege to tell him, God is not done with you. Hallelujah. God, I do more prophesying in my car these days. God is not done with you. God has not forsaken you. He's not left you. You're a warrior. The hand of God's on you. You're going to be okay. Oh, praise God. Yes, sir. God's using you. God's going to continue to use you. He needed to hear all of that. But you see, it's not the beginning. That's always just a hilarious and enthusiastic. Especially if it's something that's in the heart of God and in His kingdom and His will and His promises and His word. We're doing His will. That's exciting. But the middle stuff, the mess in the middle, but he's got that covered as well. Listen to this promise, and I'm almost done. But listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is a place in God where even his rod comforts us. The voice of a coach. By the way, that's on my business card. It says something like pastor, mentor, encourager, coach. Yeah, there's a place in God where we see even sometimes that strong, not mean, not discourteous, not disrespectful at all. Nothing like that. But just that firm voice that needs to whisper in your ear and say, God's not left you. I just feel like telling somebody that today. God's not left you. Oh, he might not fit himself into your day planner, right? He might not fit himself into your calendar. He's not submitted to your whims. He's not a chain. He's not chained or incarcerated by the way that you think it ought to go. But I'm telling you, he's with you. He's in you. He's in this church. There's a call on this church. There's an anointing on our church. There's a call to prayer. Is there a call to prayer? Come up here, Sister Meadows. This is not in my notes. The first lady, my beautiful girlfriend, wife, manager. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to use that word. I'm not supposed to. I'm going to tell you what, listen. 45 years and counting. And let me tell you something. Don't you quit on those promises you made to that person. Don't you quit. The beginning is very, very thrilling. Hallelujah. And we see signposts up ahead. Amen. Praise God, we're in God's will. We're trying to be closely, you know, stuck to it like a thorn to a coat. We used to pick up those little cockle burrs. When we were kids, we went down there on that hill near the train tracks, and we'd come home and all that, especially we had a sweater on. We had half the brush with us, you know, all that stuff that sticks to you. But 45 years, you see, there's a whole lot of stuff that we didn't anticipate. But we're still here. Thank you, Jeff Arnold. We're still here. We're married, happily married, in love, and thanking God for His hand and His anointing on our family and on our lives. Nothing can take the place of faithfulness. Nothing can take the place of steadfastness and constancy and consistency. I'm telling you, He's got you covered. I wish somebody would jump up and dance right now. God's blessing is on you. God's grace is on you. God's virtue is flowing through you. He's not done with you yet. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The days when I deal with back pain, everybody's got something physical they deal with, but I got to remember, it's in the middle. The battle's in the middle. It kept me out of a general conference one year. I come roaring back. I shared some of the story with our Wednesday night crowd, but I listened to live stream, and thank you, Brother Scott, and all you guys, Sister Chas, thank you for your help. Amen. These wonderful ladies, Sister Vicki, they do so great. Brother Scott is a techie's techie. Amen. Oh, he is. And we're improving live stream. And Brother Sandy was telling us so beautifully yesterday, people check out your live stream. It used to be your website, but now it's your live stream. Buddy, we're improving our live stream. Oh, praise God, as we speak. And it's only going to get better and better. Thank you, Tim, for helping us yesterday. But His hand is on us. We've been through some stuff. That's all not wasted. Did you know that? Even the junk, it's not wasted. It's a part of your testimony. Test of the money. It's a part of your testimony. You've been through some stuff. So when you reach out to sow in, and when you reach out to encourage, you draw from the bank of your pain. You draw from the bank of your trauma. You have something to say because you've been there. You've done that. And God has kept you solid. And God has kept you stable. Why? Because He's the God of the middle. Woo! Feel my Cherokee acting up right now. He loves you. On your worst day, He will not leave you. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. When you're disgusted with yourself and you've made mistakes, He will not throw you away. He's got you covered. He's the God of the middle. I must calm down. Kind of hard. Joseph, you know, one of the problems that he created was when he told his dreams to his family. It deeply endeared him to them, right? They wanted to kill him. So they tried to take a lesser route, and they sold him down the road. Yeah. When he saw in those dreams that God promised him dominion, authority, blessing, and favor. He didn't see everything that would happen in the middle. All of his brothers betraying him. Let me tell you something about betrayal. It's one of the deepest tests that you and I will take. No matter how pure you are, no matter how deep you pray, no matter how hard you try to be the best Christian you can be, there's always somebody who disagrees with you about something. And what you got to do is keep a great spirit and keep a great attitude, because everybody runs into resistance. Have you ever heard of this term? Resistance training. I got these weights in my book room, Brother Tim. You'd be so proud of me. They weigh a lot. So guess what I've done? I've found the little 2-pounders. Called snack exercise. Quit thinking big meals for more reasons than one. Just think snack. Just think What could you do in a minute? What could you do in 2 minutes? In 2 minutes, I've broken sweat, man. I'm in shape. Praise my God. I'm in shape. Hallelujah. You know, many of us, we go for years and no exercise, and then we wonder why we're out of gas. We're out of energy. We're out of strength. We're worn out. We're tired all the time. Well, it starts in the middle. Oh, God. Somebody tell that guy to quit preaching. Woo! Too much. He is Alpha and he is Omega. I got your start. I got your ending covered in grace. But now I want to tell you, I'm the one that stands in the middle of the candlestick, and I'm going to be with you in the middle of the mess, and I'm going to help you and smile on you and touch you and energize you and use you and put an anointing on you that you'll understand, if you're honest, you don't deserve. Yeah, you're walking through, you see. Yea, though I walk through. Don't build a 7-Eleven in the valley. Don't build a McDonald's in the valley. Don't build a house in that valley that you're going through. The destiny of God is to go through it, to keep moving, keep moving. A river purifies itself every 32 feet because it's moving, it's moving, it's moving. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that receive on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. From John chapter 7, right around verses 37 through 39. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. God wants us to get up and get moving again. I shared this little tidbit with our staff yesterday. The most famous band in history, by far the most famous band, was the Beatles. I'm not necessarily, like, you know, some Beatlemania fan, but when they hit the scene, my school was on fire. I was about 13, 14. That really does date me. But I was about 13, 14. Everybody was so excited, and they started cutting their hair the same way, you know. I wondered, where did all these fancy haircuts with these weird, what, you know, Beatlemania, right? But did you know that the Beatles, they couldn't read music. They couldn't write music, and they didn't understand music theory. So guess what? They didn't wait around until they could. So what are you waiting for? You got amazing in you. You got magic in you. You've got giftings in you. You've got creative ideas in you. What are you waiting until you learn the music theory? Until you learn all the guidelines and all the craziness and read through 16 manuals? Why don't you just get up and be the anointed best you that you can be? Because you could be the best soul winner in this country, the best soul winner in Ohio. You could be the best harvester in our fellowship. If you wanted to be, you could be that and more. Lift your hands with me as we soften the lights. Oh, I'm challenging us today to be encouraged in the Lord. Hallelujah. No, God's got you covered. He's not going to leave you out there. Amen. On your own. He's not going to say adios and leave you to your own imaginings. His will is working in you. If you were honest with the Lord, if you were fully honest with the Holy Ghost, you probably already know your assignment. I could demonstrate that today by asking a few people. How could Winston Churchill, at the ripe old age of 16, tell people, my country will be invaded years in the future, and I will live to defend London from the aggressors? How could he say that at the ripe old age of 16? Because God's purposes were working in him. And God was preparing him to defeat the Nazis with our help. And Russia's help. God's purposes. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator Who is a mediator? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What is a mediator? If you've got factions fighting, you bring in a mediator. He comes in the middle. He comes right into the middle of everything. And he works with you know, warring parties to bring them to some kind of consensus. He's the one in the middle. And so God gives us hints here and there that he's not just Alpha and he's not just Omega, but he's also the middleman. He's also the mediator. And whatever is happening in your life that you can't figure out, invite the mediator. Hallelujah. Ask him for his wisdom. Praise my God. Would you lift your hands with us? We honor the King of Kings. We honor the Lord of Lords. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. He's going to be called Wonderful with a capital W. His name shall be called Counselor with a capital C. He's the Counselor. He's the Mediator. He's the man, the God-man in the middle. I think it'd be a beautiful thing for us to walk to this altar for a few moments and just lay some things at his feet. Maybe stuff that's generated questions. Maybe something that's been a confusion to you. Maybe something that you don't get or don't understand. And that's the number one reason why people fall away from God, is something happens and they don't get it. They don't understand it. And he comes by to say, let me shed light on that. Hallelujah. For God is our light, Psalm says. The Lord is my light. He is my understanding. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's got you covered. He's got me covered. Thank you, Lord. Right now, if you would take, maybe take your hands as an act of faith, just like you had something in them. Something that you virtually wrestle with by faith, and you've got it there in your hands. And we say, okay, Messiah, Ancient of Days, I need your understanding. I need you to help me figure out something right now. Would you lift your hands are all around the sanctuary with us as we just do this as an act of faith. Sister Meadows is coming to pray a special prayer of faith and trust that somehow, God, we will lean into you and keep leaning into you. And the things that we don't get, the things we can't figure out, we know you've got them covered because you're the man, you're the mediator, you're the man in the middle, and you're the Alpha at the beginning, and you're the Omega at the end. Woo, thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift these conundrums up to you. We lift this question mark up to you. We lift up this storm. We lift up this trial that we've been going through. We don't give us light, Lord. Give us light. There's something he's trying to teach us. There's a wisdom to be extracted from everything. Nothing is wasted. Oh, praise God. Nothing is wasted. Not even your heartache. It's not wasted. Nothing is wasted. So, Lord, here it is. Would you do it in faith? Lord, here it is. It just might be that you don't know what the next step is. You're not sure about the next preceding step. And he's here to say, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. Oh, praise God. I will shepherd your heart. I will give you understanding as you take steps of obedience, as you seek to please me, he says. I will be there for you, protecting you. There are angels at your house. Ooh, there's angelic presence around you even today. Be not ashamed. Neither be thou weary of the Lord's ways, for he's with you. And he wants to show himself to you in his power, in his might, and in his understanding. I'm asking the First Lady to pray a very special prayer of blessing over us. I believe that right now, in simple faith, God will impart to us insight, strength, and help.
Thank you for this word of encouragement, God. Thank you that you are with me right now in whatever I'm going through, whatever the chaos, whatever the confusion, whatever the pain, whatever the suffering, God. It's really just a chapter in my story. Help me to understand it's not the whole of my life. It's not the end of what all of my dreams. It's just a chapter in my story. And you're writing my story, God. And you're going to help me in this chapter. And we're going to get through it together, God. And when I come out of it, when this chapter closes, God, I'm going to have a whole new perspective. I'm going to see things differently. I'm going to see through your eyes, through your understanding, God. And I'm going to know again and again how great you are and how great you are in my life. We thank you for being with us in the middle, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Just keep doing what you know to do. That's right. Praise God. Keep taking those baby steps. He honors baby steps. They don't have to be large steps. Keep doing what you know he would want you to do, that you don't need a special rhema word for. Stay in church. Keep your prayer life intact. Get that, crack that Bible open or that Bible app open. Amen. And listen to him because he's talking. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeding. He has a preceding rhema word for us. Thank you, God, so much for loving us. Why don't we soak in that a moment or two? Some of that gracious love that Thad talked about. That love of God, no condemnation. That first step to God is just simple repentance. Simple repentance. Just asking him forgiveness. Anything we've said, done, or thought that grieved him. Oh Lord, Father God, want to be right with you. Jesus, cover me, Lord, with your grace and love. I'm willing, Lord, to take that next step of baptism, that next step of being filled with the Spirit. But oh, sometimes we don't talk enough about the value and the power of repentance. Simple repentance. Let's do it together. Why don't we just repent for a few moments? Just, Lord, you know, just because we know how to do this. It's not complicated, Lord. You didn't make living for you complicated. Oh, dear God, thank you for people that explained it to us and taught us, Lord, your word and your ways. Forgive us, God. If we've missed you, if we've missed our assignment, or we know what our assignment is and have been holding back on it, Lord, fearful, Lord, God, you're going to help us. Your anointing will be attracted to us when we walk in our assignment. It might be a Bible study he's wanted us to teach. It might be a witness or a testimony opportunity that is waited on you to share. Oh, God, you're going to be with me. Hallelujah. You're going to help us. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. I sat down near a homeless person a couple days ago. Been a while since I've done that. Just sat down and loved on William. Just blessed him and loved on him. And then stuck a little something in his hand because I could tell he was going to use it for food and he needed that. And he needed companionship. And I said, William, I said, when I come back through here, I'm going to be looking for you. I will be. Because Jesus died for William. Yeah. I'm going to be looking for William, see if I could bless him again. If I could just sit down and talk to him. And he's sort of unburdened his heart. And he has a great reverence for God. And he was so honest about the fact that he said, I've been baptized. I said, well, you got my attention when you say that. What? But he was admitting that he wasn't where he needed to be. But I have a new friend. My wife's sitting in the car waiting for me. She's gotten so good at that. I get a little text, you know. I'm in the car. And it's always said very sweetly. I'm in the car. If you don't hurry, I will kill you. No. She no, never. It's always sweet. It's always sweet. I promise you. It's always sweet. And it helps me to remember. She's waiting for me. But I try to touch base with as many people as I can because I might not get to see you for several days. And you're the best thing. You and Jesus are the best things. Jesus, Cindy, and you are the best things. And you too, Amber, that have ever happened to me. So go with us today, Lord. Help us to be aware of others. Use us to bless somebody. Use us to help somebody. Use us to love people. Use us to impact somebody with our testimony. To get focused again on the harvest. On loving others. God, we give you praise for that. For your kindness. Your patience. Thank you for the kingdom and patience statement, Lord. Thank you for patience with us. God, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? Shall we all stand? God bless you. Thank you for being here. Build somebody up. Would you build somebody up?